One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment, we're visiting with Robert Guest. He's a former prosecutor currently in Kaufman, Texas. Is that where you were a prosecutor, sir?
I was a prosecutor in Kaufman County and in Texarkana, which is right on the border of Texas and Arkansas. But I was never a cop, but LEAP has former police officers and assistant district attorneys in their organization.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for being on our show, Robert. And just looking at your bio on LEAP's webpage, leap.cc, I picked the thing out immediately that jumps to mind, and that's your understanding of how this drug war has so greatly eroded our Bill of Rights, our civil protections, most of all the Fourth Amendment. Could you give people a little thumbnail sketch of what you saw in your time as a prosecutor and how people's rights were eroded by the drug war?
It goes back even further for me than that. I remember when I was in law school, just sitting through constitutional law and criminal law, and all these Fourth Amendment exceptions appear to basically save drug searches. And you start with things like, well, how long can we keep a car on the side of the road? And what does a drug dog search give us the right to do? And one thing that's ubiquitous in Texas is the, oh, I smell marijuana, so I can search your whole car. Let's start tearing this thing apart. And that assertion is unchallengeable. And from my perspective as a defense lawyer and as a prosecutor, I knew that if the police said those magic words, I smell the odor of marijuana, you know, that they had the right to search in, and there's literally nothing a defendant can do to challenge that later on. I mean, we don't have a way to capture smells on audio or video, and the judge is going to believe the police when they say that. And that's just the most common thing that we see. The other thing that we have are drug dog searches where the Supreme Court recently ruled that, you know, we're going to just assume if the police give a dog a license that his sniff is probable cause as well. Whereas, you know, they do studies that show just the poor success rate of these drug dogs actually being accurate when it comes to their alert is what we call them. But things like that, things you can't challenge, things that we let go on every day just to uphold these searches, to save convictions on appeal, have diminished the Fourth Amendment, and it's something we train officers on. We tell them what the loopholes are, and they exploit them when they want to arrest somebody or when they want to search.
That even extends to the beginning of the encounters themselves, where citizens may not be aware that police can lie to you, that police can ask you questions that don't sound like orders, and if you follow them, they have the right to go forward with that. What would you advise people when they're having to deal with cops in Texas, say, when they're first encountering that police officer?
All you need to do in Texas is provide your license and insurance if you're driving. And you don't have to answer any questions, not where you're going, what you're doing, who's with you. If the police ask to search your car, they think there's something illegal in there. They don't just want to see if you're okay to go. And they like to ask it in this form so that it gets kind of a reactionary yes out of you. They go, well, you don't have any drugs or guns or bombs or dead bodies in your car, do you? And you go, no. Well, then is it okay if I search? And it's that. Is it okay if I search? And most people are like, sure, but that's the reaction they want out of you. You need to get used to this phrase, and I'm sure your viewers are aware of this, but it's, am I free to go? Because once you ask that, they got to decide if they have a reason to detain you, and a court can later say that this is a voluntary encounter, a consensual encounter. It's a detention if you're trying to leave, but you have to ask. Another thing viewers need to be aware of is that if you want to remain silent, you have to affirmatively assert that now. Just sitting there quietly isn't enough. So if the police go, hey, where are you coming from? You need to say, I don't want to answer your questions without an attorney. You need to say, I want to remain silent and not answer your question. Now be polite. Don't don't get out of your car angry or bow up against them. They'll tase you and then lose the video. So be ready, though, to say, no, I want to assert my rights. And you have to do this affirmatively. So am I free to go? Great phrase. I don't want to answer questions without a lawyer. That's another great phrase. And it's okay to say these things. And if the police get angry or upset, you just have to expect that sometimes. But the reason is because they've already profiled you. They've already decided you have contraband somewhere. They just haven't found it. You've got to be smarter than that. So I would encourage your listeners to use those phrases and be as calm as possible and don't make any sudden movements. Keep your hands in sight. Otherwise, you might be a victim of police violence.
Well, we're speaking with Robert Guest, a former prosecutor who's now turned away from the dark side. He's a criminal defense lawyer. And check out his website as well, iwasthestate.com. And, you touched upon another aspect of this drug war that's very pernicious, and that is the way it's infected and corrupted our police forces. I mean, you casually tossed off how somebody get tased and they'd lose the video. But, I mean, how pernicious is that within Texas law enforcement?
Well, what you find, and this is something that's really kind of been a game changer, is the proliferation of videos. We have body cameras now. Almost every law enforcement agency that I'm involved with has recordings in their car, where just 10 years ago, this wasn't as ubiquitous. And so, video malfunctions were a lot more common, and they're being met with more skepticism now than they used to be when we were doing, when we had VCR videos, they were still handing out VHS tapes, at DA's offices. And so that has been an improvement. There's been such a sea change in public awareness of police misconduct. And when I started talking about this when I first got out, people were reluctant to believe it. And the cell phone camera has changed everything because people can see that police will lie to help other police officers. We had a situation in Dallas where there was a shooting of a mentally ill person, and his partner went ahead and lied about what happened, before the actual officer who shot this guy gave the statement. It was just reflexive that he was going to cover up for this guy. And so, you don't want to be a victim of that. You need to assume you're on camera. As soon as those lights go on, that's when most cameras come on. Some are just always on now. But it's a bigger issue now if something is missing, and juries are even more aware of this. You can go to a jury now and tell them, where's this video? What has happened? And a lot of them will become cynical, where especially in my smaller counties, they're extremely pro-law enforcement. But people are aware to a greater degree than ever that you can't just take the word of the police, especially when there's some sign of impropriety. And that has been a big improvement.
So to what degree would reforming the drug laws have on fixing that? Or is that something that's going to be a bigger problem than just changing this corruption in the drug war?
Oh, not at all. I mean, so many things stop when you end prohibition, from the militarization of law enforcement, where your vast majority of home invasion SWAT team raids are looking for dope, from the fact that you can pad your stats as a department or an officer by making cheap, drug busts on the side of the road, which makes you look like you're productive when you're just, pulling people over and tricking them into letting you search. And it's such a huge opportunity cost, in that we spend so many millions of hours arguing over searches, stops, possession, constructive possession, who had what? It was in the console, whose is it? And they arrest everybody in the car. And it would change the law enforcement culture, because it's an us versus them mentality. And a lot of these police officers, some of them don't think about the larger consequences of what they're doing. But I would encourage your listeners to go to your local police department and try to find their crime clearance rates. The FBI keeps these, and you'll see burglary, assault, murder, 40, 30, 20% of those are getting solved. Why is that? Well, because we are spending so much time on the side of the road digging for drugs and going busting the grow house, and it's such a huge cost to society. It would change the law enforcement culture if the people they were trying to get weren't, casual drug users or your neighborhood, drug seller. If you're going after people who had victimized someone else, which I think most Americans would agree that should be a priority. But the other problem is, who do the feds give money to? We used to have those burn drug grants, and those were a disaster, where it was a make-work project. You make enough drug busts, you get government cash. And then we send them military gear to do it. It's such It's been such a problem, and it keeps getting worse. And only recently, which we got to give the president credit for this, but, you know, Barack Obama went to a federal prison and met with some inmates. And, you know, sentencing reform is an issue in the Senate now, which it used to just never get brought up. Things are changing. And if you thought it was hopeless to get involved or that we couldn't, you know, change minds about the drug war or marijuana prohibition, this is the time. This was an argument when I would talk about this 10 years ago. People thought I was nuts. They thought I was crazy. You know, you're some crazy libertarian. Nobody wanted to hear this. But now it's reached a public consciousness. This is our moment. This is the sea change. And it's just a matter of when we end the worst public policy of my lifetime.
That's right. We're speaking with Robert Guest, a former prosecutor and now a speaker for law enforcement against prohibition in Texas. And his website is iwasthestate.com. Check that out as well. You got all sorts of speakers for law enforcement against prohibition, former prosecutors, prison guards, police themselves, detectives, all sorts. There's one near you. Just go to leap.cc if you want more information on getting a speaker for your local event. Now, Robert, I know these weren't in your county, at least I don't think so, but I've reported at least three times now on police in Texas, Harris County, the most recent, the Charnisia Coley case, doing unspeakable things to women on the side of the road in the search for marijuana. How has the reaction been in Texas to this, and is that starting to fuel some people's want for change?
Well, if there was an incident in North Texas around where I practiced where they were doing roadside body cavity searches, and the idea that the DPS trooper could think it's a great idea to reach into someone's anal cavity to look for drugs just shows you how when you have this militarized mindset, you dehumanize American citizens. They're the enemy. Who cares what they think? Who cares if we humiliate them? It becomes an us versus them mentality. And so it's easy to victimize these people. And we had an incident. We thought it was isolated. Now it's coming out that this happened more times than we thought. And the legislature in the last session actually had to pass a law saying, if you want to search a body cavity, now you have to get a warrant. As if that wasn't clear enough before, the legislature came in to fix it. And we're talking about the Texas legislature. This is an extremely right-wing legislature. But one of the strange bedfellows of this Tea Party movement we have and this conservatism, especially the new conservatism in Texas, is there's a cynicism about government power and its ability to just always be the right thing to do is to arrest people or have the government intervene. And that's extending for the first time to law enforcement and district attorney's offices. And if we had more time to talk, we could get into corrupt prosecutors and Brady material, because that's now just starting to be an issue where, like I said, 10 years ago, nobody had thought about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to have that on the next opportunity we get to speak. I'm sure we'll have you back. Robert Guest, appreciate what you're doing, illuminating this from your perspective, having, you know, seen the belly of the beast. Thank you so much, and good luck on your next speaking engagements.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your listeners.
Thank you. All right. Stay tuned, folks. We've got our anti-drug public service announcement of the day, followed by our live in-studio guest, Lindsay Reinhart here from Oregon, Teresa Collins from Alaska, and more right here on the Russ Belville Show.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me.